Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm home healthcare news reporter Joyce Femakinwa. Today, our guest is Brian Lobley, who is the CEO of Tango. In this conversation, Brian talks about why the company considers itself an enabler instead of a convener. He also talks about the strides that Tango has been able to make by positioning itself this way. During the conversation, we also get into the Vistria Group's investment into Tango and what that has allowed the company to achieve. But before we get into that conversation, if you'd like to become a sponsor of the Disrupt podcast, please reach out to editor-healthcare@wtwhmedia.com to find out more. Brian, where are you joining us from today?
I'm actually joining you from my home office here right outside Philadelphia in Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to jump right into it. For some of the listeners that might not be familiar, can you begin by providing the background on Tango and a description of your company's services?
Sure thing. And thanks for having me on, Joyce. Looking forward to the conversation today. So Tango is a post-acute enablement MSO or managed service organization. And what that means is that we are fully delegated for skilled home health services and actually soon to be expanding into broader PAC services and SNF-IRF and LTAC. And we take full risk from payers. We are fully delegated for claims, for network, for utilization management. And then we work to enable high-performing tiered networks in a market. And we put the entire market in a value-based arrangement so that we're making sure that payers, providers, and ultimately members are getting the benefit of an outcome-focused contract. So we generate full risk on the deal. So we take that full risk from the payer. And then in our contracted provider networks, we make sure that those providers are receiving the benefits of driving great outcomes from our members. So that's not only high quality skilled home health services, but making sure they're avoiding things like unnecessary emergency room visits in a post-acute setting. And most importantly, make sure that we are driving down the number of readmissions that happen. So real happy on the space that we're in, real happy about the journey we're on here at Tango. And we love kind of where the market's going right now.
But before joining Tango, you were a C-suite executive at Independence Blue Cross. Can you talk to me about what lessons you learned from that role and what you brought with you to this role at Tango?
Sure. Had a great career at Independence Blue Cross, which was the managed care plan in the Philadelphia area. Very fortunate that I arose to be the chief operating officer there, which means I had a lot of accountability across various lines of our business. I actually was ultimately accountable for our Medicare business. So I have a real understanding of how the Medicare Advantage business works. I also had accountability for operations, IT, and all the other markets that we served, ACA business, commercial business. So it gave me a really broad landscape of healthcare. I got to do some pretty innovative things there. We had some unique partnerships that we forged. And one of the great things about IBC and the leadership that we were able to forge in the marketplace is that we were allowed to try a lot of different things. So I was very fortunate to be in a very large company, but had kind of an innovation culture. So I was able to work on unique partnerships with Comcast, where we brought a joint venture to life called Quill, where we were tackling kind of some things like we're doing here at Tango around home activation. So what I really was able to see is you know, not only the broad landscape of how various healthcare segments work, how to manage risk deals. We had a very exciting partnership that we created with ultimately a company called Tandem that was and still is a full risk primary care solution. So I really was very fortunate to be able to see all different aspects of healthcare and really had an appreciation for all the changing you know, kind of patterns that we're seeing today. So exponential growth in Medicare Advantage, aging in of seniors, the importance of migrating care from a inpatient setting to a home setting. So I was able to bring kind of all those things to bear here in my role here at Tango. So I was able to manage small teams, large teams. And in our role here now, we're on a pretty accelerated growth trajectory. So I was able to kind of take all those big corporate learnings, But those fortunate kind of smaller company experiences I had also at IBC and apply them here as Tango, as you know, we're still scaling certain portions of our technology, our data analytics, while also at the same time making sure that we're meeting the needs of a member. And lastly, what I really was able to bring is, you know, healthcare is a team sport. So I've really come to appreciate from my time at IBC and now at Tango that when, you know, you kind of all oriented to keeping a member at the center of what you do, that's when good outcomes happen. So that notion of bringing payers, providers, risk-bearing entities all together to make sure you're ultimately focused on the member, that's really the things I've been able to carry forward throughout my career. And a large part of that is because of the opportunities and success I had at Independence.
So Tango has called itself the anti-convener. And the last time you and I spoke for Home Healthcare News, you described the company as an enabler rather than a convener. Can you talk to me a little bit about what this means?
Yeah, absolutely. We are very deliberate about that term. And it's to be very specific that when you convene, you know, typically you look at the definition, right? Conveners are all brought together to talk about a problem. Enablers really come together to solve a problem. And that's what we're really after. We're really after ensuring that providers and payers or risk-bearing entities are aligned and driven to the same objectives. And at the end of the day, that is a total cost of care in the post-acute continuum. So too many times, you know, what we've seen in the marketplace historically is there's a focus on utilization management. Let's make sure, you know, we're kind of putting a laborious administrative process in to get post-acute services approved. That's not what we're looking at. We know that our high quality network provider partners are focused on ensuring a patient stays home and recovers at home, right? So they're in the best position to determine how many visits, skilled home health visits, a person needs after, you know, an inpatient setting. Maybe they had a post-acute, or maybe they had a hip replacement surgery. They're an 85-year-old polychronic patient. That's going to be a much different profile than someone who's 66 years old getting out of the hospital with a hip replacement. So we want to make sure providers have the latitude within kind of a value-based payment construct to deploy the right amount of visits and services and overhead to the patient so that ultimately they're recovering at home. And again, they're avoiding those things I talked about previously, which is popping back into the emergency room or unfortunately having to be readmitted. So this idea of being an enabler means not only do we enable the payer strategy of providing high quality post-acute services, we're enabling the providers. The providers are the most important partners for us to allow them to do what they do best, which is caring for patients. So we've been, again, very deliberate about that. We've embraced the term enabler. We do think it's a new category of sorts because we're also only about taking full risk. So that notion of being fully delegated, taking full network risk, taking full utilization management risk, and ultimately paying those claims is really different for us. And then lastly, the point that really differentiates us is we go up into the discharge process and we actually control the referral. So that is where placement of services are most critical. When someone needs home health services, it starts with a referral from a physician. Well, that referral creates an authorization. That authorization ultimately is a claim being paid. Most folks in kind of this space in the industry really pick it up at that authorization, right? Services already started. They're approving how many visits. We take that early in the process at discharge. We manage the referral, which means we work hand in hand with the patient to make sure when they're available, focus on access. It's critically important to get a nurse within the home in the first 48 to 72 hours to make sure that they're ultimately going to recover at home well. So being upfront to add that referral process and then enabling provider and payer strategies is why we've kind of embraced the anti-convener tone.
Yeah. And one thing that you mentioned, taking on full risk, that is something I want to talk a little bit more about as this conversation continues. But before that, I want to talk a little bit about home health providers and conveners. I don't think it's unfair to say that home health providers and conveners often have what can be described as a difficult relationship. How has positioning Tango as an enabler rather than a convener impacted the company's relationships with home health providers? Has it changed the perception for you guys?
I think it has, and I'd welcome you to, you know, for anybody to talk to our provider partners, and they'll tell you the Tango difference. We're spending time with providers making sure we understand their workflow. How do we make their workflow easier on an administrative basis? Today, in a post-acute environment, it is much more laborious to handle a managed care patient, so a Medicare Advantage patient, versus a Medicare fee-for-service patient. So what we're trying to understand those differences from an administrative process standpoint and trying to simplify that for our provider partners. One way to do that is to ensure that every referral they receive from Tango is already qualified. They don't have to go chase down eligibility, diagnosis code. It comes over directly from us. So we're reducing kind of that paper chase burden that happens today where they're trying to figure out, well, what happened to this patient? What do they need? We're simplifying that. And then going into prospective payments, episodic payments, and ultimately value-based payments, we're really focused on allowing them to get compensated for the care. So we're not trying to pay them on a fee-for-service per-visit basis, getting paid for every visit, and then fighting, do you need a third, fourth, fifth, sixth visit? We're paying episodic. So we're saying, okay, I use my example of those two different patients, a 66-year-old, you know, maybe single condition hip replacement patient and an 85-year-old polychronic. It goes without saying that the 85-year-old polychronic patient probably needs more visits. So we're going to, again, pay them an episodic rate so they can manage maybe the 15 visits for the 85-year-old, but maybe only the 3 or 4 visits, you know, for the 66-year-old. So by really empowering them to do what they do well and making sure they're compensated for that, it changes the dynamic, right? It gets away from, you know, I'm trying to restrict you on visits and manage you to an episode count, to I'm trying to empower you to ensure that that patient has recovered and stayed well at home. So we spend time with providers. We do co-design sessions with them. We understand if their workflow is different from provider to provider, maybe geography to geography. How can we modify our system? How can we provide more data to them to make them be more effective at their job? So y'all keep coming back to it, and it's probably going to sound like a broken record, but really approaching this in a team sport mentality is important for us. Therefore, we can't be in a, you know, antagonistic relationship. We have to be in a partnership oriented relationship. And that has resonated to date with our provider partners.
And I believe that moving away from the descriptor of convener and embracing enabler was part of a big rebrand that you and I spoke about for Home Healthcare News. The rebrand began in 2022 when private equity firm The Vestria Group purchased a majority stake in the company. My question is, what has The Vestria Group's investment allowed Tango to accomplish that wasn't possible before?
Yes, great question, and quite frankly, quite a few things. First, Vestria, based in Chicago, has an amazing reputation in the post-acute space and has made a number of investments in the post-acute delivery space. So they understand post-acute. They understand the provider side of the equation. What they noticed through a number of their assets, what was missing was an aggregated kind of risk-based platform. So they did a, you know, full due diligence across the network. They looked at all the quote-unquote conveners or enablers in the space. And ultimately, what they decided is this differentiation up there by grabbing that referral allowed a company that was PHCN at the time, now Tango, to move into that full risk continuum. Again, to be able to really take that delegated, full capitated risk from a payer. So what Vistry has allowed us to do is really spend the past year rebuilding our technology, our data analytics and infrastructure, and our kind of provider-facing kind of strategy to allow us to focus only on those value-based contracts going forward. So we're not looking at legacy models. We've been very fortunate to kind of say no. So if you know, certain payers are looking to kind of do something in a more legacy environment, it's not the right fit for us. So it's allowed us to really be deliberate in our strategy. It's allowed us to invest in a lot of new talent. We have a great team here at Tango. We've brought in a lot of folks that have experience in the managed care business. We brought in more folks that have experience in post-acute. We brought in folks that understand risk arrangements and delegated arrangements. So we've been able to invest really across the continuum in people, process, and technology to make sure that we can now grow in an accelerated fashion with the right payer partners. So it's been really critical to have the support of Vistry, and not only financially, but then also strategically. Again, they're big thought partners of us. They understand the market. And they've been big believers in us and pushing us into that broader aspect where, you know, later this year, we'll announce a pretty exciting partnership that allows us, again, to move into that SNF, IRF, and LTAC. So we won't only be doing, you know, just home health. We'll be doing SNF, IRF, and LTAC as well. And it's really exciting to see the growth on the horizon here for Tango.
Absolutely. My question is that the Vistria Group, as you noted, has a portfolio of home-based care companies. Have there been any synergistic opportunities since the investment?
There has, quite a few that allows us to have immediate strategic conversations with Vistria home health providers. It's been an easy enablement conversation for them to say, you know, we love the model, we love what you're doing. We get kind of, I'll say, more accelerated down the field into a partnership. We get to work with data analytics companies like Medalogix, who's also a Vistria portfolio company, and make sure we understand how we look at episodic risk because providers are using it so that we're looking at the same information a provider is when they're looking at a patient. So the ability for kind of, I'll call it the Vistria network and the power of that to accelerate us into market conversations has been critical. And it's been especially helpful to the leadership team here because we're able to, start a little bit more down the field. We're not starting from scratch with the provider conversations.
Getting back to the rebrands, something that I know was part of it is that Tango wanted to focus on going deeper into risk. Can you talk about how Tango has done this?
Sure. So what we've been able to do now is go to our payer partners and we'll look at a historical claim run. We'll look at what their skilled home health usage has been, you know, over the past 2 to 3 years, depending on what data is available. And we'll be able to understand what percent of their membership is using home health services. Great example is in Medicare. It's highly geographic kind of differentiated. So the Pacific Northwest acts different than the Northeast and the Southwest. So we're able to understand what are the utilization patterns. We like to see a home health utilization rate somewhere between 6 and 8% of a population. So we're able to baseline that spend. We're able to trend that spend forward, anticipate what the next year's spend is going to look like when unit utilization increases come forward. And then we are able to pitch a full risk model. So we take a PMPM cap rate from the payer. We take that on full risk. So we have a utilization corridor that we agree to. And we're full risk within that. So we are then managing, you know, as I've stated before, the claims, the network, the UM, all that financial risk sits with Tango. And then we wrap that around with a shared savings program. So during that same claims run, we will actually look at each episode from a skilled home health standpoint as an example, and we'll create a baseline of what percent of those members are going to the emergency room within the home health episode, or are being readmitted back into the hospital during that home health episode. So we'll agree to a baseline on that model as well. And then we will drive down that percentage and we will share those savings back. Certainly we're sharing those savings back with the payer. We're making sure they get the benefit of the Tango model, an embedded care management model that works hand in hand with our provider partners. But what we're also doing is really importantly sharing those shared savings back with the providers. So again, allowing those providers to participate in value-based arrangement, which is critical today because we're seeing that nearly 50% of the market is managed Medicare now. So Medicare Advantage has become the predominant payer in seniors as an example. So moving kind of that shared risk value-based arrangement has been critical for us. So that's where we differentiate ourselves on a full risk basis.
Another thing that I know that Tango has, you know, made a key focus is, you know, making sure that providers are getting compensated for the total cost of care. Can you break down your strategy for achieving this and how successful has this approach been?
It really starts with making sure within a network that we have high performing providers in that market. So we are looking at historical costs, historical utilization patterns on the providers as well. So not just the claims and members, we're looking at how the providers have behaved. And then we're approaching all those providers and really trying to come up with a tiered network approach. So we are looking for tier one providers to be high quality providers. That high quality starts actually on referral acceptance, right? So start of care, we actually will measure the start of care post-discharge for a home health episode. We will reward providers who are able to start care again in that critical 48 to 72 hours post-discharge. There's a direct corollary that shows if someone receives those services within those first 3 days, they are going to have a lower incident of readmit. So we're measuring those providers within each market. We have a provider scorecard that's reviewed quarterly with our providers, and that's how they can track their progress towards achieving shared savings. So it's incredibly important that throughout kind of that market, throughout that performance year, that we're having transparent conversations with the provider partners so that they understand how you're performing each quarter. Are you improving the readmission rate? Are you improving the emergency room rate? So having a transparent scorecard that we're kind of all marking towards is the real big driver there. So we set a contract and then we tier the network along those high performers. And it's gone really well so far. We are scheduled to go live later this year with our first full risk markets that have that value-based components here. So to date, the success we've had in our legacy model, you know, allows us the kind of access rights into this new value-based arrangement that we're launching.
Your company has had a number of partnerships with some big home health companies, Amedisys, LHC Group, Compassus, Inhabit, just to name a few. What are the key to successful partnerships in your view?
I think first is listening. Each of those companies you mentioned and all of our other partners, they're not all the same, right? So they have different business processes, they have different expertise, they're different within each market. So our co-design sessions start with a listening tour. Let's make sure we understand how you're performing in a specific market. Let me make sure that I understand what your market differentiations are. Some of these customers may have a centralized referral management function. So how do we best integrate with a centralized function? Some of them may be decentralized in each specific geography. So how are we working across each of those geographies to make sure that we're integrating into their business process workflows? So again, I think that listening tour is the first important step. I think then, you know, it's making sure that they understand the value-based components. So again, a transparent sharing of information, so that they understand how they can achieve the shared savings targets. What are the expectations going into each market activation that we complete? So it's been, I think the tone and tenor has been all positive around we're looking to make sure we get total cost of care contracts. We're looking to make sure we're participating in value-based provisions. So I think that's been the real key for us, is making sure we understand are empathetic to the business challenges they have. There's a labor shortage that they have on the home health, you know, nursing care side. So we want to make sure that we're reducing as much burden as possible and making sure a Tango member is a member that they want to see.
Staying on this topic of partnerships, what makes a company an attractive potential partner? And, you know, to follow up, what makes you avoid certain companies?
Yeah, I think the answer, quite frankly, is pretty simple. Those who believe in a value-based post-acute construct, we're all ears. So whether that be a payer or a delegated risk-bearing entity, we are all ears. We are unrestricted from a geography standpoint. So we're looking to accelerate on a national basis. And as far as what we will avoid, we'll avoid the old model of UM. We just do not think utilization management in the labor-construed market, where there's a high emphasis on focus. There are so many members discharged today that are Medicare Advantage members that can't get skilled home health. You know, it's anywhere from 50 to 60% of all eligible referrals are going unfulfilled. Now, some of those are, you know, people may have additional help at home and they don't need a skilled nurse to come in, but others, you know, they need someone in the home. So making sure that it is about enabling care, you know, those are the type of partners we want. If it's someone who's, you know, looking at an antiquated UM model to get to a no or to get to a limit of the visits that are needed, that's not going to be something that will that Tango will partner with.
We're at the start of a new year. I want to talk to you a little bit about what business opportunities you're seeing.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot. I think what's coming out of you know, MedPAC around potential rate cuts to the home health industry, further rate cuts. It's an industry that's been experiencing them, you know, year over year for the past several years. So I think the opportunities for us, along with, you know, a continued prediction for the Medicare Advantage segment of the business to continue to grow along with duals, is we're seeing, you know, I think kind of post-acute become the new frontier, right? There's been a lot of focus on specialty benefit management solutions over the last couple of years. There's great companies that are doing fantastic work in MSK and kidney care, and other aspects of the business, other like subspecialties. And I think this year, there's going to be a lot more emphasis on post-acute. I think there's a realization that in many ways it's an untapped risk arrangement. And certainly, again, as more seniors come in, there is a dramatically higher utilization of post-acute services for seniors as opposed to, you know, your commercial segment. So I think the opportunities for Tango and the post-acute, you know, kind of business overall is really exciting in 24. I think it's a tremendous amount of upside for the industry.
And the other side of that is challenges. So what challenges are you seeing and how are you navigating these challenges at Tango?
Yeah, I think that the challenges are the same challenges that have been around for years in managed care. And that is the fact that healthcare costs in the U.S. continue to increase. You know, it's the result of an aging population. It's the result of, in some ways, you know, it's a double-edged sword. There's these great results in pharmaceuticals that have allowed people to, you know, to live longer and heal better, and they come at a cost. So the entire industry, you look as a percentage GDP, only continues to increase and increase. So it's a crowded field of cost savings, right? There is no shortage of companies that are tackling some aspect of medical cost. If you look at, you know, the Medicare Advantage business, you know, medical cost is 80 to 85% on the dollar, right? It's 85% as a minimum threshold for Medicare Advantage. If you look at commercial business, it runs in the, you know, 70s or 80s. So the predominant, you know, majority dollar in healthcare is spent on medical costs. So there's solutions, again, like some of the ones I mentioned previously on specialty benefit management carve-outs. There's providers taking more risks. There's hospital systems offering insurance now. So I think it's a crowded healthcare marketplace. So I think some of the challenges are making sure, you know, that we, Tango, are effectively educating payer partners around the impact that delegated post-acute spend can have, and the impact that can have, again, not only on the bottom line, but most importantly on the patients that are being served. You know, what COVID, I think, you know, has shown everyone is that the home can be a place for recovery. You know, I don't think COVID changed the dynamic of home health per se. What it really did is was an accelerant to something that was already happening. I think all of us that were in the healthcare business knew that all of these new kind of therapies and treatments, et cetera, were eventually going to migrate to the lowest cost setting, which will be the home. So that wasn't a surprise. How fast it happened because of the unfortunate nature of COVID probably was more of a surprise. So now I think what we're left with on a challenge is there's so many parts of the healthcare ecosystem need to be tackled from a cost standpoint. You know, we're fighting the, you know, just the nature of making sure that post-acute rises up and up and up on the priority list.
Where do you want Tango to be in 3 years? How do you want the company to be viewed?
Yeah, I really want people to look at Tango as the preeminent post-acute risk-bearing entity. nationally. We're not want to be geographically restricted. We want to be multi-payer, multi-provider. And I want, when people hear Tango, I want them to say they care about the patient, they manage costs really, really well, and they enable a value-based post-acute episode payment. I think if we're able to kind of tackle that, all while, again, making sure that first principles hold, which is making sure patients are getting the care they need, I think in those 3 years, we'll be able to look back and say that Tango is very, very successful and met the opportunity ahead of us.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insight on the home health and home care industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com. I'm Joyce Fumakinwa, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.